Big as all New England, plus New Jersey and New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio,
your Texas.
Mountain ranges sweeping.
The Public Theater's new epic musical production of Giant is based on Edna Ferber's 1952 novel, a sprawling family saga which chronicles life on a Texas cattle ranch over the course of several generations. It's been getting glowing reviews. The Wall Street Journal's Terry Teachout called it a show of immense and fully realized promise. And as a result, its run has been extended until December 16th. I'm very pleased to welcome Michael John Lacusa, its composer and lyricist, to our show today, along with two of its stars, Brian Darcy James and Kate Baldwin. Welcome back, all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, Michael, can you tell us how this project began? Was it something you'd always wanted to do, or were you approached by the Ferber people?
The Ferber estate came to me. Julie Gilbert, who's the niece of Edna Ferber, she came to me several years ago, I'd say almost a decade ago, and she said, have you ever read the book Giant, my aunt's book Giant? And I said, yes, as a child I had. Of course, I'd seen the movie. And she said, I think it would make a really great musical. What do you think? And I said, no.
It's so big.
It's big. I mean, what was I going to do with all the cattle and, you know, singing cowboys and stuff? So I said no, and I let it go for a while. And she came back to me again 5 years later, and she said, "Have you thought about doing Giant again?" And I said, "No." But I will take a look at it again. And you know, in the 5 years that had passed, you know, things change, your life changes, you get older or whatever. And I read the book again, and I saw something about this this couple that's the centerpiece of the book, Leslie and Bick. And I could hear music for them, and I could hear songs for them. And that's sort of how I gingerly stepped into adapting the piece.
Well, do you think that you wanted a musical because there had been such a success with an earlier Ferber book, Showboat?
Showboat. Well, you know, there were many thoughts that went through my head when I began working on Giant with my collaborator, Sybil Pearson, who wrote the libretto with me. There are many pitfalls in Showboat. There's a brilliant first act, but a second act that's really all crammed with information. So we wanted to avoid that. I was very fortunate to get a commission down at the Signature Theater in Arlington, Virginia, through the Ted Shen Family Foundation. And that was to write a musical of any length and whatever I wanted to do. And I said, well, Giant we could do in three acts. Why don't we try that out? And we did. We wrote like a 4.5-hour version of it all.
Well, you do have the movie, which pared down some of the plot, the movie that starred Elizabeth Taylor, Rock Hudson, James Dean, directed by George Stevens. Did you go to that as source material?
No, we didn't. The movie, as beautiful as it is, and you know, iconoclastic in so many ways, and we did not go to the movie as a source material because it wasn't really. It took its own way from the book, and the book to us had other messages that we really wanted to upgrade and showcase and highlight.
And Kate, you play Leslie Linton Benedict, the role Elizabeth Taylor played in the film version, so you didn't have to watch the movie because Michael said it wasn't important.
Well, I did choose to stay away from the movie, that's right.
But do you know that Elizabeth does not sing in the movie?
I know that part, yeah, unfortunately. I read the book. And I also have the great fortune to have a Texas ancestry, Texas heritage. So I sort of, remembered some things of my childhood visiting Fort Worth, where my grandmother was, and Austin, where my cousins are right now. So I felt like I had some Texas imagery, some Texas roots, and I also had the wonderful novel that is so rich in so many ways. So.
Well, Leslie is actually from Virginia.
That's right.
How does she wind up living on a Texas cattle ranch?
She meets Bick Benedict, and she falls in love fast, and they get married maybe before they know anything about each other, and she jumps in with both feet and discovers what Texas means.
And, Brian, you play Bick Benedict, Jordan Bick Benedict. That was the Rock Hudson role?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Had you seen the film? Anybody has seen the movie?
No, I had seen it a couple of times and decided to take a look at it again upon entering into this. I don't have any problems with looking at other iterations of something as just as a point of comparison or just food for thought, or maybe something bounces off me in a particular way. But so the short answer is, yeah.
Although you're not working from the same script, so it isn't like you're going to be tempted to do what Rock Hudson did with the part.
Exactly.
Now, Bick owns this enormous cattle ranch called Riata. How does he see himself, and what does he want out of life?
Well, I think one of the strongest themes that I am drawn to in regards to Bick is his fierce fidelity to keeping up the land as he's promised to his ancestors, and the feeling of having to uphold these values that his grandparents and his great grandparents have worked so hard to achieve. There's a great sense of history that he feels responsible to carry on, and he has a great spine of adhering to that. So I like that about him.
Michael, is that what you were talking about? Because there's an element of social commentary in this production, in the relationships between the Benedicts and the mostly Mexican farm workers, but also environmental concerns.
Absolutely. The show very much is about the land and how do we hold on to our traditions, but also accept change. And Bick embodies that message. Leslie, of course, represents something also very true to the American mythos of what do we do when we wake up one morning and we realize that we have lost our values. How do we go on? Do we make the change and try to regain our set of values and our ideals? It is so easy to lose them in the course of one's life. And Leslie recognizes this at one point too. I have to just say, it is so intimidating sitting in the room here with these two people here. They're the most romantic couple on stage in New York right now. The chemistry between both these two here, Kate and Brian, it's so hot on stage. I watched it on Sunday and I was like going, oh my Lord.
And you don't have to wear all the Shrek makeup.
That's right.
I know, man. They're so hot on stage.
But it's strangely, I'm wearing it right now.
I just really...
I was wondering about that green palette.
The horns, yeah. But they are so hot on stage. It's like, I was like blown away on Sunday when I saw the show.
My guests are Michael John Lacusa, who is a composer and lyricist for this new musical based on Giant, and the two hot stars, Ryan Darcy James and Kate Baldwin.
Bringing romance back.
The third major character is Jeff Rink, the farmhand.
Chet Rink.
Chet.
Mm-hmm. But Jeff is his younger brother.
Oh, he is the farmhand who becomes an oil man, played by James Dean in the movie.
Correct. P.J. Griffith plays it here in New York.
And would you say that he's the villain of the piece?
I can't really say from my point of view, I don't think any of the characters is necessarily a villain. There are circumstances that put them in places where they may or may not make the right choices about their life. In some cases, sometimes Bick is, in many ways, can be called a darker character. Leslie even has her dark moments, too, in the piece. So there's no black or white. We don't want to paint that in the show.
When Leslie arrives in Riata, she goes into the home of one of the Mexican families and later is criticized for doing that. Why shouldn't she have gone there? This is Texas, not Arizona.
Interesting. I think the book has a very sort of vivid explanation for that, which had to do with Mexican culture, had to do with superstition, mm-hmm. had to do with the relationship between two groups of people that Leslie, coming from the north, coming from Virginia, has no idea how to handle and doesn't see a problem with just entering someone's house uninvited. That's how it's handled very briefly and sort of starkly in our musical.
And complicating this is the love story of their son, Jordy Jr., and his Mexican wife, Juana. Mm-hmm. Was that controversial when Ferber wrote it?
Absolutely. And it's still controversial now. When we premiered the show down in Dallas, when we would have our talk backs with the audience, it was very intriguing. We would ask the question, how did you feel about the interracial marriage that went on? And there would always be this quiet in the thing, and some timid person would raise their hand and go, I have Mexican friends. And he's like, oh,
some
Lord.
Of my best friends?
Yeah, some of my best friends. Yeah, that kind of comment. And it's like, oh, boy. You sort of realize that, the Plus Cachons, the more things change, the more they stay the same sometimes. So I think the issue is still very, very prevalent in our society. We still have questions about that.
Well, I want to get back to that whole business of how you adapt a 500-page novel with lots of plot lines and dozens of characters into something, even something that runs as long as this musical does, as a three-act.
How does one do that? I think a case of vodka and cigarettes.
Because you also have to slow things down when you're singing, and there are 25 songs in the show.
Theater is about the close-ups. In the movies, you have your close-ups. You can pan in on the face and or do the panorama of the sky, but we don't have that in the theater. Our theater is a vehicle of language and a visual, and it does linger. So you have to know when you've lingered too long and how to move we've been working with Michael Greif, Sybil Pearson, my collaborator, and I have been working with Michael Greif, the director, over the course of several years now, trying to focus the piece and really, really knowing when can we stay here and when can we move on, what is important and what is not important.
And you've cut it down to a two-act.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It was a great experiment. I mean, we'll always have the long version. We'll always have that version. You know, Showboat, for instance, has like five different versions of the show. No one's ever come up with the exact version of it yet. Musicals in some ways are never finished. So
how do you go about composing music for something like this? Do you look to American musical traditions, Aaron Copland, Stephen Sondheim, blues, jazz? Mexican music
stuff. Yeah, there's a treasury of music out there to explore. When you're doing a piece that spans 25 years, there's so much to choose from the American treasury of song, and whether it be Mexican folk songs or swing or jazz or 20 songs, or so there's a whole variety of music
and
to choose.
And Brian and Kate, some of these songs sound like they might be a little difficult to sing at times.
Well, I think doing this show for me has made me a better singer, and it's challenged me in all the best ways. And I've said this before about Michael John's music, is that there's so much to be explored and so much to be studied in what he's done. Not only do you have the beautiful melodies that most singers will just automatically be magnetized toward, but then once you start living in the song, you realize structurally how it informs the story. And so I just love the fact that there's always something to find in the song, whether it's a lyric or whether it's a change or whether there's something going on that perhaps I didn't see at the outset.
And I think I agree with all of that. I also think it's incredible to think about how each character progresses and how they take a journey, and how Leslie sounds differently at the beginning of the show when she's 23 years old versus how she sounds at the end of the show. Yeah, and very specifically lyrically as well, how she talks different.
Well,
then
we're talking about 27 years of these people's lives. There's a cast of 22 actors, 17-piece orchestra, sets that need to convey the wide open space of Texas, all on an off-Broadway stage.
Yes, sir.
Is that why there's been talk about it being ultimately headed for Broadway?
I don't know what the story is for that. Our goal was to get it started in New York and to bring it here and show what we have here to the audiences at the Public Theater, which is a great home for the piece.
Brian, just one more thing. Is it true you won't be in the NBC series Smash this year?
I'm going to be in the first episode of the second season. So
you get divorced from Deborah Winger's character?
I'm not going to say. Divorce is a big word. I don't want to limit myself for coming back. Maybe some dramatic courtroom scenes.
So let's hope that
a ghost. You could come back as a ghost.
Yes.
It could all be, the second season could all be a dream.
Yes.
Kate, what are you doing? Maybe you go to Broadway.
Maybe we go to Broadway, but I know for sure I go to Florida and spend a week with my family for Christmas time, and I'm so thrilled about that.
Take
a week-long nap.
Meanwhile, Giant is currently scheduled to run until December 16th.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And that's at the Public Theater on Lafayette Street. Could something like this have even been done if you didn't have the support of an organization like the Public Theater?
Absolutely not. And through the Shen Family Foundation as well, which has been a great supporter of my work. The Public Theater is a place where one can do your experiments, where you can attempt something new and bold like this. And thank goodness for these non-for-profit theaters like the Public Theater.
And Lincoln Center.
And Lincoln Center Theater as well. Yes, absolutely. We need to support these theaters and the members that belong to these theaters, God bless them.
Mm. Because without subscription, much of this couldn't be done either.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for being on our show. Michael John Lacusa, who wrote the music and the lyrics for a new musical called Giant, and it's two stars with so much chemistry.
Romantic.
Brian Darcy James and Kate Baldwin. Let's go out with some of the music from the show.
Thank you, Leonard.
Heartbreak country all around us. Heartbreak country, hard and mean. In my bones, I've got this country. Let me share it. Let me give you all this country I've been given. All you see and haven't seen.